Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS political newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined by John Roering and Bernie Porn. A little later, we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton getting into the presidential sweepstakes and Marco Rubio probably not too far behind. But first, Bernie, you're going to be releasing some polling data today as it relates to electric choice, and it's prime time to announce those kind of results, considering the hearing that Eric Nesbitt's holding today in the House. First come, first serve. State your opinion on electric choice. What does your polling show?
It shows that overwhelmingly people support electric choice, and specifically on a piece of legislation that has been proposed that would eliminate the current 10% requirement for electric choice. 74% oppose that, including 58% who oppose it strongly. And so when you look at that question, as well as another question asking about whether or not they think that there should be the same amount of electric choice, the 10% as there is now, whether there should be more choice or less, 53% say that there should be more choice. And something that should be of some concern to the Republican-controlled legislature is that Republican men think by 67% that there should be more electric choice. And so when you look at numbers like that, I would think that that should give some pause to the idea of eliminating choice as an approach to energy in Michigan. I know that in this hearing today, they're going to be touching on not only that, but the question of the amount of renewables and a whole myriad of other issues dealing with energy. But the timing of the survey in terms of the release, obviously, it is no accident that it coincided with the hearing, since one of the topics that will be touched upon will be the idea of eliminating choice and going back to a regulated monopoly where you have to have electric energy choice purchased from your local provider. The other question we asked was, would you be more or less likely to vote for your legislator if he or she voted for the elimination of choice? And 45% said that they would be less likely to vote for their legislator. Only 3% said that they would be more likely. That's a 19-to-1 ratio of less to more likely, with the same percentage, 45% saying that it really wouldn't matter.
Now, Bernie, we've all seen these kind of dark and gloomy ads where it talks about people coming in from the outside and us not having enough resources, or our energy resources should be made in Michigan. Do your results suggest that maybe that messaging from the utilities is not really taking hold?
Well, I think that that probably is the case. Although, when you ask people about choice and purchase of electric energy, they may well be influenced by the experience of telecommunications and other sources of industry where there has been choice and competition instilled. And so I think there's an automatic reaction that the public and voters believe that energy prices are controlled by having competition and choice.
Okay. We've done this with telecom and it's been fine.
Yeah, we've done this with other industry, and people have appreciated a lower cost to the service.
Let's find out a little bit more about the survey. How many people did you talk to, and during what time periods?
The survey was conducted from March 28th to March 30th, 600 sample, just like all of our surveys, and that's a plus or minus 4%. And within that same survey, we asked about Proposal 1, and obviously it's our omnibus survey where people can buy questions on the survey, commission's questions that they would like to ask. Not all of those have been released, but that's our omnibus survey where people can purchase questions.
Who purchased this one on
this
the Energy Choice?
This was Energy Choice Now.
Okay.
And so they are in favor of competition. I think they would favor complete competition, and I know that there are a number of different proposals, one of which would steadily increase the amount of competition. I think that one was reintroduced actually not long ago.
Now, do you have the actual ballot language with you?
The
question of the, I'm sorry, the poll question that you asked people.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you have it? Could you read it off to us?
Sure. Legislation has been proposed to eliminate all electric competition by ending the requirement for up to 10% of electric power for each utility to be subject to competition, meaning that all customers would be forced to purchase their electric power from the electric energy company that serves their local area. If this proposal is approved, there would no longer be electric energy choice for customers, and Michigan would once again allow existing electric energy companies to operate as regulated companies in their service area without competition. Based on this description and what you may know or have heard or read, do you favor or oppose the proposed legislation? 74% oppose, 58% strongly, only 11% favor, with 15% undecided about the issue.
Now, this question is very similar to other questions you've done on this particular subject, right?
Right, and we also asked a question about whether they favor electric energy competition, more competition, less competition, and also we asked the question about would you be more or less likely to vote for your legislator? If you'd like to, we can go through those as well. But
well, the reason I had you read that is because this is a question that is very similar to what you've done in the past, and so I'm curious how these numbers stack up to previous attempts.
Very, very close. It's been consistent over 3 years that people support electric energy choice.
Now, the other subjects that you've talked about as part of this poll, you mentioned Proposal 1. Proponents of Proposal 1 got to feel a little uneasy based on what you've already released on this.
Well, 66% of all respondents and the same percentage of those who say they are very certain to vote on May 5th in the election say that they will vote no. And when you then provide the ballot language, it moves up to 70% saying they will vote no. 69% among all respondents, 70% among those that are very certain to vote in the May election. And 55% were the hard vote. In other words, they directly said that they would vote no, with another percentage leaning toward voting no. So the proponents would have, I think they're going to have a tough time moving numbers in support. Now, supporters, first of all, they say that, well, this polling on ballot proposals is inaccurate. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, I know one ballot proposal that's referenced by the supporters is that, well, the casino proposal was not supported before the election and we ended up winning it. Well, actually, the early poll showed that only 44% supported it. They ran their ads in support of the casino proposal, and that moved numbers toward support. But right before the election in October, we did a survey that showed 52% favored the proposal. This is before the election, 40% opposed. And then we did an exit poll on election day. 52% supported, the same percentage, 48% opposed. And believe it or not, the percentage of actual results were 52-48. So when someone says to me, polling on ballot proposals is wholly inaccurate, I mean, that's just not true, because most of our business is doing ballot proposal polling for school districts, community colleges, and we have been very, very accurate over the years. And when I look over all of the surveys that we've done going all the way back to 1994, Proposal A, we have been very accurate in terms of the ballot proposals that we have tested.
John, is it too early to call this thing dead when you look at the polls?
Maybe not, because unless they're going to deal with some new messaging and an incredible amount of advertising, I question whether or not they can move numbers. Now, they're claiming that, the proponents claim that, well, we're doing micro-targeting of those who are really going to turn out in the election. Well, you can't have these many polls all showing the same thing that are wrong. And the big question is, what is turnout going to be? And for proponents to say that, well, they're not measuring things right, they're suggesting that people who are going to vote yes for higher taxes are going to be more likely to turn out than all of the polling has suggested that those who are going to vote no. And there's a big difference between a tax-related issue and whether or not you're going to vote for more casinos.
Would you be comfortable calling it on an intensive care unit?
it's just about there. I mean, it's going to be it would be a remarkable turnaround to have this thing pass at this stage.
Do you think that part of the problem has been that this is so complex that people haven't been able to wrap their head around this?
When you look at the reasons why people say they're going to support it or oppose it, I mean, a lot of it is they distrust government. They distrust the governor. They don't think that money is going to go toward the repair of the roads. To a certain extent, they think that there must be enough money there to fix the roads, notwithstanding the opposition. But a lot of it is because there's so many other taxes and this whole idea of moving to a wholesale. You've got probably a 10 to 12 cent increase in the gas tax at the pump. And anytime we tested, the last time we tested a 6%, 6 cent increase, there was solid majority opposed to that. So even though on our previous polling, a 52 to 57% majority said they would vote for a sales tax increase to fund the roads, where the money would go toward funding the roads, when you add in all of these other complexities of the proposal, changing the way that the gas tax is dealt with, registration fees, which are solidly opposed, other than those that would apply to heavy trucks.
And the reason I bring that up is because you mentioned that you've done polling for local ballot proposals, and historically local ballot proposals do pretty good when you talk about roads and schools and these types of big capital expenditures. They seem to pass at the local level, at least in the last 3 years, around the 70% mark. Why is this one doing so poorly when you consider it could just be as simple as, well, we're just raising the sales tax and the money's going to go to roads? How is this different?
Because it's got so much other stuff in it. And that's one of the things that that people say in their no vote explanation. Not only that the taxes would be raised, but it has taxes that they're suspicious of. This the gas tax and other taxes. And all of the things other than the sales tax increase, if it were just dedicated to roads, having taxes for other purposes is, I think, what the killer is.
John, taking a look here at other issues, the big news from this past weekend, Hillary Clinton announcing that she's going to run for president. Shock and awe.
That took us all by surprise, didn't it?
I just couldn't believe it. Well, as expected. I mean, Hillary announced, I think that a lot of folks thought she was going to delay a little bit longer, but she decided to announce. When you look at the polling among potential primary opposition, why she's got a solid majority of support. And I think the biggest thing is that she has more politicians, U.S. senators, governors, Democratic governors, and other Democratic officials and organizations supporting her than any candidate, Republican or Democrat, has ever had supporting them at this juncture of a campaign.
Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, though, over the last month, she's had this the scandal with the email server and her service at the Department of State. Her favorability and her unfavorability has kind of come together a little bit, hasn't it? Does this look like to you a issue that's going to have long-range impact on her candidacy?
Well, everything is relative to the opposition, and so you can't just look at the email issue in isolation of what the vulnerabilities are of other candidates. And the Republican brand, when you look at national polling, is in serious trouble. And so when you look at the kind of positions that Rand Paul would take and other candidates would take, and the opposition that is going to be much more, intense on the Republican side, and the battles that we saw take place in the past, I would expect you'll see the same kind of thing again, whereas there may not be the same kind of intense debate on the Democratic side unless someone jumps into the race who has been disclosed thus far. So, you know, the odds are everything is comparative. And so even though this is a potential vulnerability for Hillary Clinton, and if she doesn't handle it right, it can become more of a vulnerability, until you have the candidates running against each other and their respective vulnerabilities compared and comparative advertising waged, you can't really tell. But I think she's well positioned, given that the Republicans are going to be at war.
One of the things that it's always kind of happened is when you have a two-term incumbent like Barack Obama going out of office, there's almost a downshift of support for that party. Is Barack Obama, how much influence is he going to have on Hillary Clinton, or are these two unique historic incidences that aren't going to really interplay the way a traditional candidacy would, a traditional Democrat following a Democrat for two terms? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, history would suggest that there's an inclination to consider much stronger the other party, given the history of two incumbent Democrats for 16 years. I mean, clearly that is something to consider. However, we have a very unique situation, and that is the first woman that could become president, and that is, I think, the wild card in this whole thing, that you really can't look at history in the same way.
And you know, I was going to point out too, it looked like 8 years ago at about this time that Hillary Clinton was the front runner. Nobody was going to beat her. Barack Obama just slowly kind of emerged out of nowhere and then overtook her there. Is there a potential that somebody could do that this time?
I kind of doubt it, because there just has not been any really movement by any candidate. There's been an interest in having Warner decide to get into the race by a lot of progressives. But you have so many progressive incumbent senators and office holders that have already come out in favor of Hillary, that you'd have an awful lot of folks that would have to switch their positions if things started to get competitive.
It's kind of like the Democratic primaries become a little bit like the Republican Party, like it's next up. Who's next up to take over the mantle, you know, where that's kind of been how the Republican primary has been.
Are you comparing Hillary Clinton with Bob Dole?
Bob Dole, George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, it's like, or John McCain, whoever finished second, Mitt Romney gets the, whoever finished second place the year prior gets to be the front runner the next time around.
Well, look at the fact that right now the leader among the Republican candidates is Jeb Bush. I mean,
it's the name, you know, right?
A Bush versus a Clinton. What do you know?
and so
it's entirely possible that we'll be looking at that again. When you look at the amount of money that Jeb Bush has raised, he has raised more money than all the others combined times 10.
Really?
Really. And so, I mean, it's just phenomenal the amount of money that he has raised just from the Bush infrastructure.
We all like the 1990s. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's probably a lot of people that wouldn't mind going back to the 1990s in terms of the number of jobs and everything else. A lot's going to depend on how Hillary positions herself in terms of moving the economy up so that more people are included in terms of the improvement in pay and wages and what people believe is an improving economy.
So it looks like the Republican primary is what's going to keep us entertained for at least the next year or so. So we mentioned Jeb Bush. Who do you think is best positioned to beat him, either in Michigan or nationally?
Rand Paul seems to be getting some traction. Just in terms of some of the early polling, I would think that if it were just Rand Paul versus Jeb Bush, if he could at least get enough money to compete, that might be interesting. But as we all know, it all depends on what the lay of the land is, literally, in terms of all of the candidates and what piece of the pie each of them are going to take. Because if there's a whole bunch of Rand Paul-like candidates and it's just a moderate type of candidate like Jeb Bush, and Chris Christie does not get in, then I think you have a moderate versus a whole bunch of very conservative candidates, and you've got something similar to where Romney won before compared to the more perceived conservatives.
Chris Christie, wow, there's somebody whose star just flamed out real fast. And you know, you think about what really precipitated that, and that was the whole scandal with the toll booth and shutting down the freeway. How is that different from what Hillary Clinton did, in the sense that Chris Christie's administration abused its power. Didn't Hillary Clinton abuse her power in not disclosing emails and using her personal account?
Well, you know, the email issue so far is probably more inside baseball than what was very vivid and much more, I think,
visible
on the part of what happened with Christie and the whole bridge issue and what happened with his troops. And so I'm not sure that it's comparative but it could be if it gets legs and she isn't fully truthful in terms of how she deals with it and the perception is that she's not being forthright.
Well, the Republicans are going to try, John. This morning, how many emails do you think we got from Republicans or folks like Rand Paul or some type of Republican outfit taking a slap at Hillary Clinton? I think I counted about six or seven.
There were a lot of them, and there were a lot of them yesterday from various groups, including Emily's List and all others, pronouncing with banners that Hillary's announced. So it's going to be... It's going to be interesting.
Well, we all know that she's in. She is the front runner. We can call her that, can't we, Bernie?
Oh,
she's,
absolutely.
She's
no,
the front runner.
No question about it. I mean, it's solid with no one else. Barely double digits in terms of any opposition.
All right. Well, very good. That's going to do it for this week's edition of MERS Monday. Thanks to John and Bernie Porn for showing up today on an early morning to talk politics and your polls. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Till next week, I'm Kyle Malin. Take care.